Thank you, Zev, for setting up. Thank you, Rabbi Davis, for he's not here with us physically, but he provided did all the with food. Perhaps thanks to the Siegelmans. The morning shiur sponsor, the Ili Nishmas Shlomo Ben Yitzchak, the Sus Achene Bnei Yisrael, and the Sunim Betzara V'Shivya. So should we have good news? So we'll talk about electricity for Shabbos candles, and then we'll connect that at the end to Inyan Diyoma for Chanukah, whether one can use an electric menorah. So if you see here, again, we're using this Shubha Mirabon source sheets. Source number 30. For those who came late this morning, we did 29 sources already, and now we're starting with 30. The Mishnah, which we are all familiar with, well, I shouldn't say, all of us who daven Nusach Ashkenaz are familiar with. You always say, this is a Mishnah in... No, I'm just kidding. He'll tell us what Kigavna means afterwards, right? We'll do a foreign exchange program. And what can use a malik in lobe lechesh, b'lechoysim, b'lechalach? Okay, these are all the a list of, I'm not going to read through everything of all the ingredients you can use. The yesod is as follows. You know, whenever you have mishnayos, you understand what the principle is. Anything that is going to be poorly illuminated, that either the material they're using, we spoke about this in one of the other shiurs, that I think even last week, that there's the ner does not mean a candle. A ner means the actual receptacle. And there is the psil, the wick, and then there is the shemen. So what your fuel source is, anything that's going to be, you know, not such of high quality, and there's a concern that you might come to actually adjust the flame, so you're not allowed to use these poor things. If you look, that's what the Gemara is explaining. That's the Mishnah. And you look in the next source. Omer Rav Psilus Omer Chacham Ein Malikin Bahen B'Shabbes. Why can't you use these inferior types of wicks? Mipnei Shor Misaseches Bahen. Because it's like it flickers in them. Shemanim Shomer Chacham Ein Malikin Bahen. The type of oils you can't use. Mipnei Shein Nimshachim Akar Hapsila. That you can't use them. So we're going to interrupt with a famous word from the Hele Gemara Inayim. The Gemara, it's not here in the source. The Gemara says that those types of inferior wicks and oils that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you can, yes, use for Chanukah. You can use them for Chanukah. So you say, okay, because Chanukah is on a weekday. So then, you know, of course, the whole Kesuvah is going to come to adjust it, which is a malach on Shabbos. I understand. On Chanukah, of course I could use it. So the Moran Naim says no, because Ner Hashem Nishma Sodom. Beautiful idea. That the candles is a metaphor for our souls, for our neshamas. And Nebuch, there's some Jews, their neshamas don't get lit up by a Shabbos. You know, Volson relates that sometimes his conversations with Bachram, it's a Rachmanis, but like they can't wait for Shabbos to be over. They're like a little puppy dog staring at the window waiting for three stars to come out. So they can get back on their devices and see all the important text messages they missed to find out like there was, you know, a 10% sale at Staples. And now they didn't know about that on Shabbos, but now their life is complete because they got the coupon for the 10% off. But those inferior neshamas that don't get lit up by Shabbos, malikim b'chanukah, you can use this for Chanukah. Chanukah connects to all of us. And we'll talk more about this as we get closer, but that's the idea. So again, what's the halacha? The halacha is these inferior types of wicks cannot be used. Continuing now in source 32, Rabbi Shmuel Omer ein malikim be'itron. This type of tar, the bnei kavod Shabbos, has a terrible stench, and it's not going to be a pleasant environment. Chamatim b'chol shmanim b'shem and shumishim b'shem and gozim b'shem and tznos b'shem and dogim b'shem b'kuos. It's so familiar to us, right? The itron b'nerf tarfen omer ein malikim el b'shem and zayas bilvad. Again, we don't want anything that's going. It's unpleasant. You know, coming up in a few weeks, we'll have the story with Yosef being sold and brought down to Mitzrayim. So Rashi tells us that it was a special chesed, a kindness did, that on the caravan that was schlepping Yosef down from Eretz Yisrael into Mitzrayim, it smelled, had a pleasant smell, because a bad smell, you know, bad smell, it's unpleasant. So I remember I was doing the Rashi, and that week I was thinking, okay, so it's a bad smell, you know, just get over it. And then that week, for some reason, I was driving and I had to, maybe I'd fill with gas or something like that. I went into a gas station. And as soon as I walked into this little gas station, the stench was so overwhelming. I just had to go, like, to give the guy my credit card or something like that. I couldn't be in that little gas station booth for more than 30 seconds without getting nauseous. It was such a terrible one. And I realized, okay, Kodesh Baruch Hu sent me a special message. You think it's not so bad for Yosef to go down in a bad-smelling caravan? We're affected by that. Levites were affected by that. So that's what the Gemara is telling us, that because of these terrible things, this itrum, neft, all these, you know, smelly types of oils, we shouldn't use them. Okay. I'm going to skip a little bit. I want to get into it. Let's do Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to skip a little bit for 35. On the bottom it says, Shar kol hashmonim, chutz me'elo, with all these besides the ones we mentioned, malikim, and you're allowed to use them, mikom okam, shemen, zayis, mitzvah, min ha-mufchar. The preferable thing to use is olive oil. That's the best thing. It's going to be the nicest flame. What are they called? Paraffin? You know?
Yeah.
That's also very nice, right? What's that made out of?
It's wax.
It's wax. Okay. So those are also very geschmack. Now, what about electricity? Let's get into the electric lights, because obviously the Mishnah wouldn't discuss something that hadn't yet been invented. Was electricity invented here in Edison? Was that a myth?
Not electricity.
It was Tesla invented it. It's a ripple.
Is it really? Fake news?
Fake news.
Okay.
Well, it was Benjamin Franklin, no?
The light bulb.
He didn't invent the electricity.
Well, no such thing as invention.
I don't know.
He discovered it.
Okay. So, we discussed in our last week's shiur about what happens if a person forgot to light Shabbos candles, but they did have electric lights on. So would somehow that satisfy? Because again, do a quick recap. Several of you here, not everyone's here, so let's do a quick recap on to understand the next piece. There's different reasons given in Rishonim as to why we light. Covered Shabbos, it's preparing for Shabbos, owning Shabbos is more delightful, or Shalom Bias, which means, as we Rashi learns in the Gemara, that you're not going to be tripping over things because there's light in the room. All three of those reasons are satisfied by electricity. Right? You're turning on a light, so you're preparing for Shabbos. It's much more enjoyable to eat your meal when you have well lit. You're not tripping over things. So then, if I really got all of those reasons satisfied by the electricity, and I forgot to light a real physical candle, is there still a knas? You have to add a candle nuts. That's a machlokus in the poskim. The Maharil is the source for this. The Maharil was asked about a woman who forgot, what should she do? And the real answer the Maharil gave, sometimes it's misquoted, but he wrote that not she should add an additional candle, she should just increase the amount of oil in each one of the candles. Let's just, like, I don't know, we'll make up a number. 4 candles every Shabbos. Doesn't say add a 5th candle. What it says is that she should add more oil to that, or if she's using physical candle, make a longer candle to increase it. So that kind of became, you know, transformed into adding a new candle. So is that kenas of adding a new candle present when there's a machlokus? But now, look at 37 of the oil at Sion.
So is that halacha? Has that kenas, the one that we misthought, that you add a candle, is that now, and for those who believe that, is that, do they say that the actual halacha is to add a bit more oil, or do they say the halacha?
In a case where a woman is poor, they said if she can't afford the extra candle, she could fulfill the kenas by just adding a little extra each week. In those days, in those society, like it was a real financial consideration. Can I afford that extra candle every single week now? So really, if she could, you're having a kenas, you add a candle. If you can't,
become the real kenas.
Yeah. That's what Shulchan Aruch brings it down. So if you look here in the things, I'm going to read you, look where the box is before it gets to 37. Some poskim, as the Rogachover, hold one does not fulfill the mitzvah with electric lights, as Chazal mandated using fire for Hadlakos Neros. Okay, so we'll come back to at the end about Hanukkah. Do I have to have a real flame or not? But the Rogachover clearly says that electricity does not work. And then in the box here, it quotes from Ben Tzion Abba Shaul. That's the Orla Tzion. If you look at it, it's possible to fulfill the mitzvah of lighting candles using electric light, even those with fluorescent that does not contain a glowing wire. Why would you think it's important to have, again, this fluorescent, this incandescent, this fluorescent? We'll talk about LEDs in a minute. Well, what's the difference, you know, in just Metzius, how the bulbs are made?
Well, because
you can see the filament, right? So some posts can make a difference between the different types of bulbs. However, if the bulb's connected to AC power, it is not possible to fulfill the obligation of lighting Shabbat candles, as every moment the new current arrives, which is not connected to the original lighting, and the one who turns on the light is not going to have lit the light that comes subsequently. Right? It's not called a Maisa Halakha. keep that in mind when we get back to Hanukkah. They would have
so
to do a Maisa Halakha.
DC probably would be okay because AC it goes backwards and forwards, so it's not DC. It's always connected to the
okay.
That's why you can use the battery ones. I thought
batteries are gonna be fine. So, yes.
Yeah, but that's because the battery's got
if Westinghouse had won the whole electric thing way at the beginning of time, that would have been DC power. We wouldn't have AC power in the house.
Interesting point.
Interesting point. What about some of these lights that have transformers that transform the AC going into it? That the light is actually run by DC.
But that's still.
Well, no, then it's AC.
It's still AC. It's just the lower power.
It's AC, but yeah. The light itself is not AC.
Now, when we get to the batteries, we're going to see batteries going to be better for Hanukkah because batteries have a limited source. The DC power is, in theory, unlimited. If there's not a blackout, there's no power outage, then it keeps going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It keeps going and going and going. So the next source I want to show you is, he quotes from Ramosha. The next source, 38, this is the English Sefer, Reb Simcha Bun and Cohen, Radiance of Shabbos. So he has, however, in the second line, Hagoyin Ramosha finds in Zatzal dissents and rules that one should not rely upon electric lights for the film of the mitzvah. Again, we're talking about Shabbos here. He therefore rules that in circumstances where no other choice exists, you should use them, but without a bracha. So again, let's just go straight. Rogachover, no good at all. Ramosha, it works. It works, but don't make a bracha on it. The one who goes even a step further is Chacham Avad Yosef. And he not only allows you to use it, but with a bracha. If you look at the next source, this is Yabia Omer, 39, Hagon Ritzvi Pesach Frank. Bahar Tzvi, that's the name of his halacha sefer, al hatur. Nisor, he discussed this point. Because of Shafila Nemar Shedavka, Ho'or HaRishon Bo Mikoicho, that you have to be the first, you have to, you know, come from your own power, your own energy. Avamasha Haner Hashmali, Dolek, Vaholech, Ein Ze Mikoicho, but it keeps burning and going, is not considered. There's a whole discussion about machine made matzahs, and machine made tzitzis, things like this. When you take the first step, when you press the button, then starts the process, is that considered to be your koach or not? So it happens to be it's a machlokus between the Devar Avraham and the Kosher Glover. You know where the Kosher Glover was? The Kosher Glover. You know where he was the Rosh Hashiva?
Kosher Glove.
You know where?
Kosher Glove?
He was the Rosh Hashiva who took over for Yeshiva's Chachmei Lublin after Meir Shapiro. Okay. Elak mikoch shein, what's it considered? Afa pi, kein, yoitzim bo, yidei chovas ha-mitzvah. She'ikar mitzvah she'a or b'bayis. You hear this? The whole point is not action, it's result oriented. And I have a light, so I did that. And that's the mitzvah. He brings the Rambam over here in Perakei, Shulchan Aruch, Ech, Noshim, Echad, Noshim, both men and women, Chayvan Liyoz, b'batehim, ner dolok, b'shabbos. You just have to have that candle lit, that light litting. The ein mitzvah neir and Shabbos etzim ha-halaka. It's not a maisa halaka. Ella hishtadlu shiyeh neir dolek bebayis. You follow that? So he allows this. You got that. You got the result oriented. You don't have to do a maisa halaka. You have to have candles lit. You have an illuminated area. So according to Chacham Vad Yosef, and by the way, I'll add a few more names to this list. In Nefesh HaRav, Roshech quotes the Rav Soloveitchik held, also you can make a bracha on these lights. There's this whole, I'm going to check my notes over here. Who else brings that down? After the Rav, I'm sure. Oh, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. One who uses electrically produced light for Shabbos or Yom Tov candles has halachic support for this practice, and they recite a blessing on this lighting. Okay.
So I heard that Rav Moshe said that if one is in a hotel, because mm-hmm. everyone lights outside the dining room, they don't really get enough from it.
Yeah.
So that he said, and again, I read it in the name of him, I don't know, that his wife would turn on
a light. We're going to get to that. Okay. Yeah, very well, get there. Good, good.
Okay. I only say that because of the fact that in number 38, it talks about Rav Moshe not being happy with it.
Correct. Okay. We'll see. But, okay, let's go slow. I'm going to read the box underneath it. Among those that permit fulfilling the mitzvah using electric lights, some allow fluorescent and LED lights as well, since all the goals of halakas neros are achieved through these lights as well. Others, though, allow lighting only with incandescent bulbs that have the filament, which is more similar to actually, that's what Joey was saying, right? That you have that at that point. Okay. Now, I'm not going to read inside, but the next one, again, still, it's the Chavadas. It's the same author, different sefer, is Chacham Yosef, where he writes, obviously, if you have a choice, you should use the candles. Meaning, don't say, oh, I don't need to light candles anymore because electricity works, I can make a bracha. He writes clearly one should do have that in mind. Okay. Now, we're going to move on a little bit to the next issue about where a person should light. So, I get the shayla a lot when people are eating out on Friday nights. Right? Where should I light my shabbat? So really, the question that hinges on is, can you light in one place and eat in another? What would be the din if, let's say, my house is, I don't know, there's flies, or my house is just, it's in the summer, it's just very hot, and it's cooler to eat outside. I can't light the candles outside because they'll get extinguished. Could I light in my dining room and then just eat on the back porch, on the front porch, or something like that? So you have the Aguda. The Aguda was, I'm blanking on the name, Ramosha. I forgot. Germany in the I think the 1300s, if I remember correctly. I'm blanking for a second. So he writes like this, Ubekayitz, I'm in source 41, Yochel lechol or hayom, shlo b'mokom haner. You could eat in a different place, right, without by the candle. Bekayitz, yes, and there was aruchos, but you should make sure you have long candles. So yichbu koidim laila, they shouldn't go out before. You need to get hana from the candles after nighttime. Ve'im lo yasu kein, if you don't, have a bracha levatola. Well, he quotes a famous line, says, what benefit is there of having a candle during the daylight? It's more in chulin. So he's concerned there's a bracha levatola over here. So this is what we would tell people. If you were going to eat out, so you should, I do one of two things. You could use longer candles in your home Friday night. So when you return from there, you're able to come back and get hanah. Or you can delay your departure time from your house. Someone stays in the house, could be anybody. Everyone's going to walk over, then someone stays till after nighttime, and then they get hanah from the candles. And then you walk over, and you don't have to worry about that. There are, however, poskim. That's really the chatchi that one should do. That's what I tell people to do. But there are poskim to hold, and we'll see, since electricity, technically speaking, works, so even if, the lights went out, you still, it's not the end of the world because you're getting benefit from the electric lights you turned on. When the Aguda wrote this in the 1300s, I think it's the 1300s, there was no electricity to talk about.
Filament, right?
there it is, yes, Alexander Susland. Died 1349, okay. Wikipedia. Was a prominent 14th century rabbinic authority in there. Serial book collections. Right, very good. So the Ashkenaz, thank you. The Ashkenazim, I think he writes quote him a lot. Svardim, not so much.
So but one should one then light turn on one of the electric lights?
Jumping the gun.
Oh, sorry, I'll keep my mouth shut.
We'll get there, I promise you. If not, you get a full refund. We'll get there, I promise you. Okay, that was 42. Shulchan Aruch. Hamalikin bizovios habayis. You're lighting in the corner of your house, meaning I guess that's where your lighting station is set up. V'oichlin b'chotzer, but you're going to eat outdoors in your front porch. Im ein haneres aruchos shadolkin ad halayla. If you're not, again, this is the idea. Here's not you're eating, at a neighbor's house. You're eating in your house, just not where you lit. Have a bracha levatola. So then for you should make sure that you have them. Again, Shulchan Aruch is 1570s. There's no concept of electricity. V'yesh omrim literally means those that say, but it's always used to introduce a different opinion. So that was the first opinion of bracha levatola. In quotes of yesh omrim, she'ein mekadshim el or haner, you have to make kiddush in place by the way you're eating. Yesh omrim she'ein ha'kiddush toli b'ner. No, kiddush and the candles are not dependent one on the other. Imhu nehene mechotzer yosem ibnei ha'avi. It's a nice weather outside. Oh, when they have zvuvim and there's no flies. There's flies indoors and there's no flies outdoors. Mekadish bechotzer, you make kiddush in your outdoors, in your courtyard. For oichel sham, that's where you eat. Afal pi she'ein aro haner, even though you're not there. She'haneros la'oneg nitzdavu v'lo litzar v'hachi mistabra. This is logical. Meaning, the whole point, let's go back a second. We talked about a few minutes ago, the reason why you have the candles is because it's an oneg Shabbos. It's going to be more enjoyable to eat by the light. So is that, here's my candles, right? And yet there's like bees and bugs and mosquitoes and flies. Oh, but you got to be by the candles. Come on. Outdoors, it's so nice. Indoors, it's hot and it's sweaty. There's no central air conditioning in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, right? Yosef Karr didn't have central air conditioning. What? He had window units, right? They had to put those. So if the conditions are nicer outdoors, the whole candles are to make it, what we said, oneg, not for tsar. It's going to be mitzar you to be by your candles. So he says, eat outdoors, right? So you, well, what do you see? You see there's a chilek between where you eat and where you light. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
Is there a white window lights outside?
It would be extinguished.
Why can't you use the Hanukkah box that you use?
Yeah. Wait, we're not in Hanukkah. We're still... Oh, you mean use the Hanukkah box for your Shabbat?
Yeah, you live for Shabbat, and afterwards you're like, oh, we want to eat outside. It's not necessarily, you know, maybe it wasn't planned to eat outside.
Rabbi, what about going and lighting at the person's house? Is there any negative to that?
Is there any negative to that? So we'll talk in a minute about people light, multiple people lighting in one location. We'll hold off on that for a second. At the end of the day, that would be an Eitzah as well.
That would be.
Yeah. Okay. I'm listening.
With the candles, draw the flies or the bees or whatever and that's disruptive to the meal. So
right.
Go outside because they're going to go that way to the light. But you're outside with the food. Isn't the food going to attract flies the same way?
No. I don't know. For I don't know why it was, but apparently that's what it was. The zvuvim were indoors and they were not outdoors. So you want to eat outdoors? Right? Okay, so I'm going to skip. We're in 45 now. Piskei Tshuvos is written by a contemporary posek, Rabbi Rabinowitz. I believe he is a cousin to the Biala Rebbe. Rabbi Lubin showed me, he had a chance to meet with him, and he showed me, he had a table like as long as this. This was his dining room table. It was stacked with svarim. The whole... Got a little jealous. it was all swarm. He's writing tshuvas all day long. So here, this is from the Sefer Lechein. El hamalikin neiros bevatehim. Those people who light in their hands. Oh, ba'achsan sehim by their ba'achsan. They're hosts. Ve'od kodim shechet. Before it gets dark, yotzi misham. They leave. Asodim emokum acher. You're lighting one place and you're eating elsewhere. Kashechozim kavar ein haneiros dolkim. Now you get home and the candles are no longer burning. Hare birchosim levatola. It comes out as a bracha levatola. Ella Yeshli Zohir, you should be careful. Hanos, to be careful to get Hanoah. Hanoah means benefit. Mehaneros Keshvar Chesheich. After it's already dark, that's what we said. So you can either do that when you come home or before you leave to go out. V'lav Davka Zoy Shehalika Ubircho Al Haneros Ella Gam Im Adam Acher Bo L'Sham. No, it doesn't have to be you. Somebody else. Meod Meor Haneros Shapir Dami. That works as well. El Shetia Barak Birchol Shelo Tihyeh. Nowadays, the correct thing to do, shaliku es haor hachashmal, you should light the chashmal's electricity. Tekef umiyad somach lehadlakos haneros, you should do both at the same time. And we'll see how certain gedolim would orchestrate this in their house, where the candles and the electricity be turned on at the same time. V'yechavdu, and have intention, bibrocha gam al or hachashmal, that the bracha is going to be covering the electricity lights as well. The gam yarvichu bezeh, so you benefit a lot from this. Shu haneiros kavar yichebdu kishabon l'sham. Now, when you came home and the candles are out, but the electricity is assuming still on. El orach hashmal dolok shuv ein ze begeder bracha levatala. That's your answer. That way you could go if the candles are still lit when you return. Matov manoim. I know some people don't like that. Some people actually are nervous about leaving fire in their house. They'll put they'll put them in the kitchen sink and a tin foil and all like that. Okay, but if
the olden days when before electricity, if you lit a lantern, which is much longer burning because it's got a larger reservoir and whatnot, so that if that were still burning when you came home, but the candles themselves had already extinguished, then you're okay.
Yeah,
so that's the same.
Correct.
Out of curiosity, if you have a timer on for your dining room lights,
mm-hmm.
and that goes off before you come back home.
That's a problem.
But it goes back on tomorrow. It's still on Shabbos.
Oh.
But it's off and then on again.
That doesn't bother me.
The rabbi doesn't like it, but he doesn't know why.
Actually, about the lantern.
Yeah.
You can make the bracha on that. You can light one regular candle.
You need the lantern night.
Who uses lanterns nowadays?
No,
back then. Yeah, okay.
Actually, there are people in prone to blackouts. They do have lanterns in that.
Really? The Boy Scouts amongst us. The Eagle Scouts have lanterns.
So that might be
okay. That's a good point. Can many people, this is what Lauren was asking, can many people light in the same location? So the Maharil, it's a machlokas. Let me ask you a question. Let's say, you know, you go to these places where there's like a Shabbaton or it's one of these like Pesach programs, and they set up a table like this for lighting. So they have 100 tea lights in the same location.
Pesach,
right. So you're the lucky guy to be number 99 and 100. There's 98 candles lit there already. Does that really add anything? The mice, does that really add anything? Heat. Okay. Or, and you're assuming, I'll put another fact to consider. Let's say it's here, and then they have like a setup, you know, the dining room table, the lighting station, and then like the bottom is like, you know, 2 miles away, the other wing of the hotel. There's no, so you're not getting any, you're lighting, you're walking away, you're not getting anything from that. So we'll have to analyze, is that a proper thing to do or not?
What if the extra heat from all the candles makes them all burn out faster because it's so hot?
That's true. It's a very big fire. Rav Willig calls it an inferno. He's they have these places. They have a goy stands by there to make sure that like nothing happens. They have something they have to actually extinguish them because it becomes. Okay, we'll see. I'm not a fan, but I'll explain why in a minute.
So they'd have a whole fire department.
They're hacking a mortgage.
Right.
Yes.
Amazing and scary at the same time.
In the Maharil, I'm going to read the English. If two or three homeowners eat in one place, each one should recite a bracha on his own lamp, his candle, even though there's already significant light. Meaning, even though it's not really adding it, I did number 99 and number 100. What if it's 3 and 4? So yeah, I mean, candles, three, another person lights, another person lights, and so he says, no, it adds some more. The Or Zeru is hesitant. Some follows practice, and my humble opinion can be justified as the more light that's added, the more peace there is in the home. There's extra joy to the benefit of having light in all corners of the house. So even though it is a machlokas, whether multiple people can light, again, the Maharil is Ashkenaz. So we'll see how that comes out in a second. Shulchan Aruch brings down this machlokas in 47. Shnayim v'shlosha ba'alei batim, orichlim b'mokom echad. Two, three families are all eating together. Yesh omrim, again, Yesh was one opinion. He quotes, shekol echad mevarech al menorah shlo. Each one can, yes, make a bracha on their own. V'yesh megamgeim b'davar. You know in modern Hebrew what megamgeim means?
To stutter.
Right? I saw a bumper sticker. Korim li Nachman v'ani megamgeim. Nachman mi'uman. Okay. Funny jokes. But with some stutter, meaning some are hesitant about this. Because, I don't know, does it really add so much light? Does it really make it so much light? Okay, yes. But yeah, like, everyone's doing
it. It makes a big difference to the menuchas and das and the menuchas and nefesh of Shabbos to somebody who has been lighting candles, raised in a home that always lights candles. They know they're supposed to light candles.
Right.
It's one of the big mitzvahs that women have.
Okay.
And now all of a sudden you're telling them that I'm going to go away, so now I'm not going to light.
People or not like with the bracha.
Or not like people are never going to go away. People are never going to do anything.
Really? I'd rather stay home, not lose the...
Can I turn it around?
Yes, you can turn
it
around.
I have a chandelier that puts out a significant amount of lumens. It could very well be that even lighting two candles...
Won't do anything. Correct. So
how do you make a bracha on that?
So we're going to say... Well, okay, we'll get the little bracha for a second. But I was recording. She and children are two deus. Some allow it. Yesh begambi v'nochon. The correcting li hizahir. Be careful. B'sofek brachos v'lo yivarech ele echad. Only one person should make a bracha. So years ago we were in Camp Lavi, and there was a Sephardic couple there. Every single week she would run to be the first person to light.
For that reason,
because according to Sephardim, if there's somebody else lit already, you can no longer make a bracha. The Ashkenazios, they all just came and all lit, and you had, you know, 700 candles burning. But she was the first. She would go every week because that's what the Mechaber writes. The Ramah says, "Aval ain't a minanog." We don't follow this. We don't write. You know, Anu ain't no hugging cane. We don't. You can be number 22, 23, 24. But Sephardim, if you only one. So what will Sephardim do if let's say for example, you know, someone else, you know, got there first, they'll light in a different location. They'll in a different room or something like that. They will to make the bracha. But if there are candles lit there already, they follow, like the Mechaber says, not to make a bracha in that case. So that's an important machlokas between the Mechaber. But now we'll get to the hotel.
What if they lit like a bigger candle? Like, yeah, different.
Doesn't matter.
No, why not?
It added, but the whole point was that there was light there already. I didn't need it. I could have eaten my meal with that first candle.
Yeah, but it's,
It's nicer.
Like the light, like, you know, let's say, like the ceiling, you have four bulbs, and like three are out. Like, you can manage. Like, it's not kishmak.
It's not kishmak, but you can manage. That's the point.
But the whole point is, like, you know,
it's manageable,
right? So, like, make it better.
I'll give you a moment. I was once
to the point that was made earlier about adding light and luminance, huge amount of light already. If you block the light and create a shadow in the area where you're lighting, so that now you're illuminating that area that would otherwise be in the shadow. Now you're creating a brighter area. Does that count towards this?
Yeah, repeat the question.
All this light is here.
Yeah.
I'm now blocking the light, and now I'm casting a shadow in the area where I'm lighting.
So no, I don't think that. I don't
Why
think
not?
So.
I mean, so you're creating more light in the area.
Because are you going to stand over the whole meal? You're going to stand over? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay, so let's get to the hotels. The hotels. So, again, one concern now is that it might not be where you're eating. And the Mishnah Berurah says you're supposed to be lighting where you're eating. How many guys actually light on the table itself? No one? No one? Oh, yeah. Some. Okay.
When I had room growing up, I did.
Now they did. Now there's no room. Baruch Hashem.
When I was growing up, I was in all the
time. Says, again, quoting from Piskei Tshuvos, now I'm going to 49. Af elu hamalikin becheder haochel. You're eating in the dining room. Yakpidu, you should be makbid lahalik haneros somach l'shulchan sha'oichlim sham. Near to where you're actually eating. V'yaliku b'pina miruchekes mimokum achilosim. Not to eat, even if it's in the same room. Halavai, sometimes now with the, you know, the hotels, they only let you bring fire into the dining room. So they'll put the back. They have like one table, like on the, and your table's like way over there. So it's like east and west. You're not eating anything. So really, you should ideally point out. I'll show you in a second. Some say you can bring food there afterwards. Mm. You lit over there, and they're not going to allow you to bring candles into your dining room. Sometimes you can if you have a good maitre d'. They'll let you like put little tea lights. They'll let you put them on their table. It depends on the program. You have to. You have to have good connections. But really, that's the ideal thing, to put tea lights on your table. That's the best, because now that's where you're eating, you're getting benefit from them.
What benefit are you really... I mean, it keeps going circular here, but like, I'm really trying to figure out this huge room lit up, even this room.
Yeah.
Little candles. Like, what are you really accomplishing, other than seeing them? I like the idea of seeing them. But
that's it. You're getting... Actually, I mean, I could hold my watch up to the candle and see what time it is. That I can get direct benefit from it.
Yeah, but just knowing that it's Shabbos and you see the candles,
so that's what I'm some post, I think Shlomo Zalman has like that, just the ambiance.
Yeah, it's
Shabbos candles. Okay,
my seat faces the candles so that I can see them Friday night. It is just such a relaxing thing to know that the week is over.
You know, I'm going to skip a little bit. Zev, I want to get to your question actually. Let's turn to a little bit. I'm going to skip. I want to get in everything. You're welcome to keep these in and look at them afterwards. See what it says, lighting in places with electric lights? Right. Look on the second sentence, second line. Unlike in previous eras of history, today nearly all places one lights candles for Shabbos are already very well lit with electric lights. Right. The problem is, all the reasons for giving lighting candles, owning Shabbos, covered Shabbos, shalom bayis, have already been achieved through electric lights before you light your Shabbos candles. If so, how can you make a bracha on the lighting today? This is especially true according to Shulchan Aruch, which rules that one does not recite a bracha when lighting candles location where other candles have already been lit. That was the mechaber we just said, since it's unnecessary. And even according to the Ramah, who allows the bracha on the same location, the question is relevant. The Maharil quoted, the reason is every additional candle casts more light into the dark corners. So now, let's go to the... According to this reasoning, even the Ramah should agree today that with the advent of electric lighting that illuminates the house sufficiently without any candles, one should not be able to recite a bracha on the candles unless all the lights are turned off. To solve the problem, many poskim, including Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Kamenetsky, Chacham Vad Yosef, suggest turning off the lights before lighting the candles, turning them on again. In this manner, now the bracha goes upon Halakas Neiros, covers both the candles as well as the electric lighting. So that's what they do. And I think Rabbi Yaakov, Rav Moshe, we have stories from the Gaon, they would do this. One of them would stand by the light switch. They would she would light, the Rebbetzin would light, they would turn off the electricity, turn it on, and then make the bracha, and the bracha is now going on both. Now again, if you can do that, if it's calm enough in your house, everyone's not running around like a headless chicken Erev Shabbos to, you know, doing last minute things, if you have the menuchas hanefesh, you can do it. That certainly is lichatchila what one should do. One should,
just in the room where you are lighting the
Shabbos, the physical candles, right?
Can't it be in any room if they're, I mean, the lighting candles is for, because they say that Oneg Shabbos involves not tripping up and, you know, punching people in the face.
Yeah, right. Yes.
But
yes.
The thing is, that solution requires two people.
No. You could be the same person. You could be the one person lighting and walk over and do it yourself. Yeah.
And then make the break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't do the electric first.
It's not a hefsek. When you stop what you're doing, you turn off the lights.
It's not a hefsek. That's a ma'aseh halacha, according to many. So I'll give you an example. Here's what we do. If we're away in a hotel, so I tell my wife to make a bracha on the light in the room. We make a bracha like in the bathroom, like we're standing in the bathroom, we just be light that you're going to be getting benefit from over Shabbos. And then my wife's old-fashioned. She wants to actually light candles. So I tell her to walk directly to that inferno with the 700 tea lights set up, and she'll light there with the bracha she made already back in the room. And the people, I said, don't stop, talk to anybody, just go straight and light there. Yeah.
Well, there's also... If your husband is the rav of the hotel for the program, having what's its name, it would look a little odd if she didn't go.
they don't ask me my opinion. Actually, they did ask me my opinion. I told them my opinion. They still put those tables out there.
But can you not?
What did you advise them to do? Just let him have on that table.
I don't want to get into politics.
You didn't tell them to vote Democrat or Republican.
I told them they should make a bracha on the light in the room. Okay. And it started World War III. Well, how can I wear my light and everything? I said, it's a bracha levatola. It's mamish a bracha levatola.
So why can't...
I called Rabbi Willig. I discussed it with Rabbi Willig. He said, this is like checking for a sircha on a pig. You said his muscle. He was not a fan at all of this. I told him, so what do I do? So it was a whole thing because there was a fire hazard and they had the light, the guy's going to blow it. It was a whole mice. But people ask me, I tell them, they should not. Well, unless they'll let you use the tea lights at your table. That's fine.
Well, why can't you just have, since you don't have to be the one to get hana, why can't you just delegate somebody to sit out there, have a l'chaim, have a piece of cake, next to all the...
Oh, they do it. I skipped it. There are those who say that. If you want to go back, I'll show you who says that.
That means that there's no brachas levatala.
Yeah. Where is that? I skipped it, but someone brings that down. Let me go back for a second. Who brings that? About eating by them. I think it was the Chut Hasheni.
So when we go out and the...
Yeah, if you look at the right after 50, we skipped the Maimer Mordechai. In general, the hotel manager will not permit lighting candles in the bedroom for safety reasons. They set aside a place in the hotel lobby or similar area where all will be in light. In this manner, no one can recite a bracha on Shabbat candles, as the candles will be in a place where the meal is eaten or in a place where benefit is derived from them. If the candles are not in the place where the meal is eaten or in the place where the benefit is derived from them, the mitzvah of lighting is not fulfilled. If the candle is in a room where people drink coffee, eat cake after the meal, or in the dining room, then an Ashkenazi woman who always lights candles can make a bracha, where a Sephardi woman who arrives and sees the candles already burning should light without a bracha. According to Eliyahu, even if the candles are lit in the lobby, perhaps one could bring some food there after the meal and eat it nearby, thus benefiting from the candles. Right?
So the hotel program should arrange for somebody so that at least they, you know, they're covering...
Please take me to your program. I'll be the official eater. I promise I will come after each meal and take my mizonos.
Learning's not enough.
Learning's not
enough. No, is learning not enough by the...
That learning's fine. Well, but again, the whole point is eating, but...
It's eating. It's supposed
to be eating. It's supposed to be eating, but...
Yeah. I've actually seen that.
You just literally make a bracha, or you have to do some action.
What do you mean? You turn off the light, make a bracha, and then turn it on. People who are in hospitals, women who are in hospitals,
they have incandescent ones that they hand out for the hospital.
Turn on the light first, and then make the bracha.
That's machlokas Sephardim and Ashkenaz, which we do first. But you would.
Turn
it on to make the bracha.
You would need an incandescent for it.
Post-game, Rav Willig allows even not on that. Not even not on incandescent bulbs.
You don't actually tell us still has incandescent bulbs?
Well, yeah, they're hard to get. I think Rabbi Sobolovsky like bought, I think I heard him once say was he like when they were going out of business, he bought like a whole. Knowing Rabbi Sobolovsky, that makes a lot of sense. But the okay.
Many buildings, many states, like in New York.
Very hard to get.
Yeah, to get right.
If you go to Robert Wood Johnson, they actually have incandescent that they hand out.
Yes.
If they would arrange that all the women would say the bracha in unison, they all say it together. Doesn't work.
No. Okay, what about Hanukkah now? Let's move to the last point. Based on everything we just said, let's do a quick recap. Everybody knows that you cannot turn on and off lights on Shabbos because it's a Maisa Halakha, right? So if it's a Maisa Halakha for Shabbos, so then according to that, it should be a Maisa Halakha for Hanukkah also. And I could get it, right? So that's what...
But it's different.
Why? Oh, okay. But there's actual doing the Halakha. So that's what Rabbi Pesach Frank has over here, that you need to do it, that he holds that doing an electric bulb is not called a Maisa Halakha. I have here from Rabbi Jachter's article. I'm sorry, it's not in the source sheets. It's why it's no good. The argument which has attracted the greatest support is the contention that electric lights, even though they're halachically kindled fire, differs significantly from the menorah, which is lit in Beis HaMikdash. Thus, they cannot be used to fulfill the mitzvah of commemorating the miracle of the menorah, which occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. Among the prominent differences are that electric lights do not have a flame, no fuel is consumed, no fuel supply is present at the time of lighting, and that electric bulbs contain a glowing filament, which is not conventional fire. Other differences include the lack of a wick in the electric lights, and that they're dependent on a not-yet-produced fuel. While each of these differences alone might not be significant, or even technically correct, the sum total of these differences motivates almost all authorities to prohibit the use of an electric menorah. Most prominent among these authorities is Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who emphasizes the differences between electric light in the menorah and rules an electric menorah is unacceptable for Hanukkah. So that's fine, but the way you get around this is the battery-powered, right? If you use a battery-powered or a flashlight, so then at least there's a set amount of fuel, right? I mean, it could last for hours and hours, but it's a limited, it's not in potential unlimited. The question the post-game have on this is let's say you used a flashlight. Is that pursuing Nisa? Right, someone's going to look at you, what are you doing? I'm lighting Hanukkah menorah. No, you know, you just turn on a flashlight. Like, what are you talking about, right?
You stand 8 flashlights in a row.
Like that?
And they turn them all on, and they'll get it.
Take a good picture, you put on Instagram, you make a whole thing out of it, right? I saw from Cheshuke, what's the Sefer? Zilberstein Sefer. Cheshuke, yeah. So he had the following shayla that was asked. Could you make a cigarette menorah? Well, not condoning smoking, but if you light up 8 cigarettes,
it'll last as
much. So first of all, he has a whole reason. He had 3 reasons why it was no good.
There's no wick.
Okay, I mean, if you light, I don't know, someone would puff a cigarette and light it, and then just let it burn down.
They go out.
Would it last a half hour? I don't know how long a cigarette lasts if you don't puff on it. I don't know. Anyway, Lamaisa, the chief Sfar Rabbi Chaim Dov Halevi allowed the battery powered menorahs.
Does it need a battery for each?
No, just the whole thing has to the whole kit has to be battery powered, but anything being plugged in would not be allowed, right? Because of that.
For a menorah, aren't you meant to have separate vessels for each one?
Some discuss that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have a central oil thing, but you have the cover over it, so the wicks are all separate.
Then it's okay.
Am I right?
Let me just end off with the last thing. Again, I'm going to read this from a Rabbi Jachter. It should be emphasized that this discussion applies only to light in which metal filament glows, such as an incandescent bulb. However, fluorescent LCD or LED lights would undoubtedly not fulfill the commandment to kindle the Hanukkah lights because these lights are cold. They do not have a heated filament and hence are not consumed fire. Perhaps the most persuasive argument that electric menorah is unacceptable is Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that only one turns on electric light is one considered to be the act of lighting. How once the electric light is lit, it's dependent on more current being generated to keep lit. This is not considered that the light is being
caused to burn by the one who turned it on. This is because only by oil or wax candles can one be considered responsible for its burning the entire time it burns. These candles do not require human intervention to keep them burning. Hence, electric lights would be unacceptable for Hanukkah lights because one must light a candle with an active kindling, as we spoke about, that lasts for at least a half hour. But electric lights, only for the moment the one turns it on, is it considered lighting. This argument, however, does not apply to battery-operated lights. Okay,
but you don't have heat in... You have LED ones now that don't have any heat from it.
Right, that's the problem. That's the same as a problem.